I really enjoy him immensely.
Yeah. Now, so when he talked about the filter, that was pretty interesting. He had an answer for it. But it still raises the mystery aspect. See, it's a mystery. He is, are you working on the electron? No, we don't work on the electrons. The whole interacting with ion is a mystery. And it's trying to say that we get closer to non-physical now. It's available. And that is so that there's lurking there the contradiction that he's creating but not creating seems to be being transcended. But it's damn hard to explain it. Because he has to use words.
I hear you struggling with this, and you know, again, I come back to, like Ben Watson, with his central thesis of the Marxist bullshit, I come back to my fucking hobby horse, Ben Watson, thing. It's the language. I hear you struggling with the words.
Well,
you're trying to put into words, Bob, goes beyond words. So here you are, you're saying, listen, the mystery landscape, it's, that is, ion, the zillions of it entities, all this shit is a mystery. And we're stumbling through trying to use language and words to give it some fucking reference.
Yeah, let me add
this. And it always comes up short.
No, wait a minute. Ion is all four that we're moving beyond language. I pointed out that the information overload has people now going around saying, whatever. They've stopped trying to track the Android beam. Joe Saluzzi was trying to point out how you can't track what the computers do on high-frequency trading. They track themselves and you just wait, relax and allow. So the whatever that people have come to, Ion sees as a service of the information Android meme blast. Because
how is it a service?
It forces everybody to get into the whatever frame of mind, and that's relax and allow. So what it's saying is that all our...
Now, wait a minute. Relax and allow is not the whatever. Whatever is indifferent. You see, Bob? You can't posit.
No, that is...
That whatever is relax and allow. Relax and allow is not indifferent.
It is. Now.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my God. I walked right into that with the plate glass window. Bob over here is cowed by the bastard.
Yeah, rope-a-dope.
Grasshopper, you have learned to walk the length of the rice paper without leaving any footprints. Then you will have learned.
Rope-a-dope there. And all I have to do is have you...
I'm thanking the master publicly.
Yes. Because
I have picked you, Bob Dobbs, to preach this evangel.
That's
why
right.
Why me? Because nobody's listening to you, Bob Dobbs. You are the perfect person to preach this evangel. Because no one is listening to that. That's perfect. Because nobody, you've said this many times on Cash Flow. James, we're covered. Nobody's listening to this. Only the people who need to listen to this are listening to it. So we're okay. That's why Bob has been handpicked by it to preach the evangel of the new mystery landscape. Because nobody is listening to Bob.
That's exactly right, because in a recent...
Perfect words? I want my perfect words, Bob.
Perfect themes.
Perfect! I was like, words, they're obsolete. I'm going to give you themes. I'm going to give you themes, but inside themes is mean. What's inside a theme? Well, the basic core of a theme is a meme.
Yes, it's a meme.
All themes begin with memes. That's a slogan right out of one of the, remember all those great books with Bucky Fuller and Quentin
Fiore, Jerome Angel. Yeah.
Those are, I have all of them. They're wonderful.
Yeah, did you know they did one on Stanley Kubrick? Do you have that one?
No, I don't have that. I'm going to have to try to find that.
Yeah, you're talking about Angel Fury.
Quentin
Fiore, Jerome and Jerome Angel. Angel. Yeah.
Jerome Angel, Quentin Fiore, Bucky Fuller, McLuhan.
Well, the Angel and Fiore. Angel and Fiore did one on McLuhan. They did two on McLuhan, one on Bucky Fuller, and one on Stanley Kubrick, and maybe another one in there somewhere.
See, I don't know the Kubrick one at all.
Okay. So back to
this. Okay, let's get back to this.
The
core of every theme is a meme.
Right. I don't care. Now listen to this. I will shed no tears. You were talking about the detachment, why Bob's the perfect guy. In the
no,
new.
No, I was talking about indifference. Is
indifference.
Whatever.
Indifference. Okay, indifference.
Versus the, relax and allow is the opposite. No, you were right. Relax and allow is indifference.
That's right. And so here's proof in a recent hour-long, 75-minute thing.
Jesus.
Yeah, that will be offered on our website within a week. So.
Are you tired of feeling good? Yeah, you ready to feel good now? Then call ION 1-666.
No, don't call ION. ION's already there. Just
don't call ION. ION is already there. There's no need to call.
Yeah, just give ION a tip. He's standing beside you. But the ION went on a rant in the middle of it about how Bob doesn't care. It was a pretty good, pretty funny. He ranted on exactly what you're saying. Why Bob is the perfect evangel for the situation, because he doesn't care.
I have chosen you, Bob Dobbs, to be this evangel, because no one is listening to you, dummy.
You are not on TV.
You are not on TV. You are nowhere, dummy.
You are on CKLN occasionally. And we shut that sucker down.
There are no nations. There are no people. There are no Bobites. There is no Dobbstown. Okay.
Okay.
Back to serious matters.
Yeah, relax and allow. It's interesting how it sounds like losing your ego, Buddhism, and that kind of Zen stuff. But it isn't, because ION points out that the meme that Louise Hay brought in about positive thinking and energizing your own reality.
Yes.
If you limit it to positive thinking, you're in trouble. You need to just realize thinking is creation, and you should allow all thoughts to be happening.
See, this is Ben's problem. Ben selectively chooses his doctrinaire stance, and he doesn't allow all forms of thinking
to come right.
into play.
He does like all forms of thinking. He calls it...
He appreciates it, but he appreciates it from an aesthetic, not from a fucking...
He doesn't live it. He doesn't know he's living it.
Yeah, that's it. And this is why I said he's only has 50% hearing.
Yes. Did I finish the story? Okay, so relax and allow.
No, you did not. I interrupted many times. You were anecdoting off of the, I said...
Oh,
whatever.
The emails. So I'm getting these emails, which are totally mysterious. A couple of people who weren't interested in ION, when they heard I was getting emails, they got interested. They thought, that's awesome. And now they wanted to look into a bit more. What is it about that? They think, well, that's interacting with the electric body. That's
perfect, Bob, because that dovetails right into the ION hoax thread on Bob's body.
Okay, while you introduce it, I'm just going to change my battery, so you talk for a little while.
I talk for a little while?
Well, go into that thread, whatever you want to say. I'm going to not talk
for
a minute.
Well, for anybody who's on five-bodied, there's the ION hoax thread, which has been... celebrated by those who are making, providing content for that thread. This is the best, and I quote, and I don't know who this is, let me go to Five Body. This is the best thread ever. We should keep this going on forever. And I posted something on Five Body, and it was something to the effect of, resume grieving. So the grievance was, I believe, was it Body? Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I'm back.
You're not. You're back, okay. I was just rambling on about...
Yeah, no, that's good. The thread was started by Body Logic.
Who started the thread? I think it was
Body Logic started it.
So his grievance was he saw an opportunity to take a run at the king.
Yeah.
Castle. So he took a run at the whole ION and Bob and this is a hoax and...
Hey, just heard something. You said whole ION. That's Hawaiian. Hawaiian. It's got ION in it. Hey, I don't know what you...
Hawaiian. We're just here at the factory with fucking with the after image of what's his name?
JW?
No.
Body Logic. Body Logic.
Not Body Logic. The artist who...
Gerd Stern?
No, the artist who duplicated wealth.
Hmm.
When he was shot.
Oh, Warhol.
Warhol.
Yeah.
So here's Warhol. Here we are in the factory with Bob Dobbs. He's, oh, you're the Andy Warhol of big science!
No, that's
all
Warhol.
People
that,
who have
that,
never
that.
Had the temptation in their ears to hear these words. Bob Dobbs is the Andy Warhol of big science. I want to say that publicly. It's been said publicly once before, but it's very obscure. This is a wonderful meme for all of those three people listening to this wiretap, which is me, Bob, and Scott. That Bob Dobbs, I want to make a claim here, is the Andy Warhol of big science.
No, that's McLuhan.
That's McLuhan. But you are the new McLuhan, so you are in de facto one of the
I am the Andy Warhol of manipulative communication.
Right. Very good, Bob. Thanks for clarifying that for the audience, which is me, you, and Scott.
I am Andy Warhol's mother.
And you're both.
No, if you actually say, if you go, McLuhan's the Andy Warhol of big science, then I'm the Andy Warhol of hockey.
Okay. All right. CanCon.
CanCon, yeah. CanCon.
All right, let's get back to serious matters. I want to know what this whole lot. No, I want to switch gears.
Body logic.
Not body logic. Do we want to stay on the Ion body logic thread?
Well, you were going to go into it, but what did you say about it? We haven't done anything.
No. Basically, the grievance is, here's body logic. He's decided to take contrast. He's pointing up contrast.
Yes.
He's going to take a run and make an opposition to Ion, its contribution.
He called it New Age woo-woo from a queer.
Right.
He did
so
not
he's
like...
He's being derogative.
And yeah.
He's on the attack. So body logic is on the attack. So I'm interested to know, what would precipitate this attack? Why? Why now? And the only thing I can come up with is he feels a hunger or a need to assert some sense of identity through contrast.
Well, his mother was probably a New Age flake.
Oh, and the ad hominem attacks continue to roll out unabated. It's a smackdown on my body.
Yeah. What's interesting is after a good bunch of the people had posted, I then read them through to Ion.
Yes.
Okay, and Ion loved this. Ion loves to play.
Loves the contract.
Isn't that a line from The Shining? Something about, I love to play or something.
No. Jack Nicholson says, here's Johnny.
yeah, in The Shining, right?
Yeah. In The Shining.
Yeah, so Ion listens, I read through the whole thing, and Ion then, he remembers what I read. He didn't respond. It didn't respond to each one. It just heard them all, and then, okay, and then responded to some of them. So we posted the audio of Ion responding, and... body logic, he goes meta. He says, Bob, you didn't include yourself reading it. And I said, I didn't want to bias it, so I just read it flatly. He says, no, he said somewhere where he says, you didn't read it. We want that you're reading. He says, the inflection is important. I said, well, I made an attempt not to have an inflection. And he said, no, you got to play it. But I never did it. But he kept finding a grievance.
Yes.
He kept...
Which is what precipitated my post, which was resume grieving.
Yes. And then you also wrote blah, 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 and filtered through it the word something.
Well, this is what I did for all of those who have not seen the post. I basically repeated blah, 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 blah on an entire page, but I bolded, interspersed in between all the blah, blah, blahs, the last word makes the market.
Yeah.
And I want to say this publicly. I've known Bob Dobbs for some 24 years, and in that entire time of knowing Bob Dobbs, interacting with tens of thousands of people, I have always witnessed one thing. Bob always has the last word. So if Bob always has the last word, Bob makes the market.
That's right, and the after image is the last word, and that's what Saluzzi's pointing out. They just keep nanoseconding each other, and creating a new afterimage, which becomes the last word for about a nanosecond, and then another impulse becomes, data impulse becomes the last word. And
right.
It's asymptotic. It never gets to the end point. You know,
right.
Asymptote, you know, in geometry?
Asymptote,
yeah, D-O-T-E.
I know the word.
Yeah, it's like we're...
Asymptomatic.
Yeah, the curve of the XY grid does never get to the vertical.
Right. It never reaches the
contact. We have contact, has already happened, won't happen, may happen in the future. That's the whole thing, contact. That's what tactility means. You never get to the finish line.
Right. Contrast never reaches the vanishing point.
Yeah.
Sky never meets the horizon.
Yet they're interpenetrated.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They feed on each other. So you want to go to another thing? There's nothing more to say?
I do. There's something I want to get into. I want to get into the pulsating magma at the core of the Earth and how this is affecting our iPod.
Yeah.
Can you expound a little bit about that, Bob? Stretch that out a little bit.
Well, I've been accused of not
what
being...
What is this magma? What is this pulsating?
Right. I've been accused...
You've been accused of what?
Of not being original, creative, or whatever, and just parasite and everything else. Okay. I just cut and paste.
Yes, even your own stepson has claimed that you are not a genius because all you do is collage other people's genius. And I stood up for you at Christmas, and I'm going public.
Yes.
I'm going public, and if Paul ever listens to this wiretap, spinal tap, I'm dead.
That's right.
But that's okay, because I've already reappeared.
That's right. That is the accusation, and I certainly endorse it and prove it, and I tell you, if it wasn't for Ion, we would have had no interesting cash flows since March. Of course...
I don't believe that.
Well,
it's... I do not agree. Bob Marshall does not agree. I think that in the absence of Ion and the absence of it, the cash flows would merely have taken a new direction of fascination and interest.
Yeah, I probably would have had to start working, being original.
So here's Bob supporting Bob when Bob himself isn't supporting
him. That's right.
And for all of you neophytes out there, and all of you newcomers, listen closely, okay? Listen up.
Listen
until you have 24 years, you can't even begin to compliment Bob.
That's right.
Because you have no idea.
That's right.
For Kling Klang. We'd like to give a special shout out to Kling Klang. We hear from very reputable sources that perhaps he has the nuts. He has the cajones.
To stay in there. And keep responding.
Well, we only demand hypercritical content.
Okay.
Okay, Bob, let's take it back to what was the topic?
What was it? It was me.
I don't know about the magma.
Oh, yeah. So I was explaining. Okay, so this accusation, I'm not original, and I support that point. I know that Buzz says, that, you know, doing the YouTube since last September, end of September, he said that, you know, after a month or so, well, maybe a couple months, because it was all fascinating at first, but then, you know, by December, he thought, I think I've heard all that Bob's going to say. And he needs Bob's inspiration to make the YouTubes. I always, you know, the next week, when he's getting bored, I come up with something new. And so that keeps him going for another 6 weeks. And then it starts to wane, and then I come up with something new. Well, on that boredom cycle, if I didn't come up with something in March, we may not have had any more YouTubes. So we're now up to, like, 320. So when Ion came in, it allowed me to have even more slack and relaxing out because Ion would give me the news. And I just would tell. When I do Melting Titanium Tuesday nights, I usually exploit it to get some material for Wednesday, okay?
I know that.
Yes.
I know when I'm listening to Cashel, I go, this is fresh. Bob just milked the cows last night down on the farm.
Yeah.
I know what to say, Bob.
Yeah.
Killing is our business, not culture. Killing is our business, and there's always some killing to be done down on the farm.
Right. Who says that? Where'd that come from?
I have no idea why that's implanted in my hard drive, but okay. I've heard that expression many times.
Okay.
Killing is our, no. There's always some killing to be done down on the farm.
All right. Well, so Ion's always give me the latest stuff, and so I don't have to do any thinking. And
right.
So I just continue parasiting along. And yeah. And that, okay, so I'm responding. Why did I bring that up? The point about...
Because we were talking about magma. You've been...
Oh, yeah, yeah, magma.
Original. You accept that accusation, and
yeah.
Here you are proving that accusation by proclaiming to the world that once you get the details from Ion, you put it on. You replay it.
With modulation, because we don't want to get...
With modulation, yeah. Tweaking, and your own contribution.
Yeah, it's like the ever you used to say, Bob, this is for your own ears only, you know, don't...
Right.
This
okay.
is for your
well,
ears only. So
yeah.
Sometimes I can't say everything because it would get some people in trouble.
Right,
so
Buzz is getting bored, but he doesn't get bored because I say that you're the ultimate drug dealer. And
yeah.
The drugs you deal, people always keep coming back. They think they've reached the ultimate high, but then you give them the new stuff, they get even higher... And they always keep coming back for a new fix.
That's right. And Buzz, his temperament or his sense of himself totally resonates with the Ion philosophy. I mean, Ion...
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that indubitably.
Yeah. So he likes the Ion stuff, and he makes YouTubes about it right away. So
yeah.
I knew nothing about magma. I knew nothing about iPods or anything. But that's...
So you claim, Bob.
That's right, yeah. That's my alibi. But Ion has said, you know, it's because...
I take this from you, Bob. You knew all about the magma.
I'm the darting mouth, and I'm using a lot of words and concepts. Makes me sound encyclopedic, but I don't identify with anything and know nothing. And Ion says, that's why I can accept Ion. You average to bear,
okay.
As Ion
says. You know what you've just paraphrased there? You, for all of those who have not listened to the first wiretap with Bob Marshall... I do have a philosophy degree, and basically what Bob has paraphrased here is when Socrates went to the Oracle of Delphi and said, Oracle of Delphi, who is the wisest of all? The Oracle of Delphi responded, well, Socrates, you are the wisest of all. And Socrates said, why? Because you know nothing.
And you live it.
This is Bob doing an instant replay between Ion as the Oracle, which
yeah.
is what he is. Ion is the Oracle.
Yeah.
It is the Oracle. Bob is as Socrates. Bob comes to the Oracle, it, and says, who is the wisest of all? And the Oracle says, well, you are, Bob, because you know nothing.
And you live it, Bob.
Okay. So take it from there.
So, of course, I knew nothing about magma or iPods or anything. So Ion...
Pulsating.
Yeah. Ion pointed out that the thinning of the veil... It's having, you know, cataclysmic effects and gentle, subtle effects on all levels of being.
Humanity, yes.
And geology and everywhere. And on
yes.
the astral plane and in the realms of rifting.
Yes, it's wreaking havoc.
It's wreaking, a nice massage. And so on the geological level, the magma is spinning in an interesting new way. And that magnetic effect of the spinning magma, and I was... Careful to point out, we're not talking about a polar shift, which a lot of the New Agers think is coming. Not a
right.
major polar shift. It's the magnetism effect, and it affects the geomagnetic sphere, too. So that will affect our chip technology.
Right.
And Ion told me, Bob, you could make a big hit with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates if you went and told them what you're learning here.
Right.
And I said, up yours, I ain't moving. I like Maui. I ain't telling anybody. And Ion says, that's my boy. So the point is, though, we have this inside knowledge that the magma is going to affect our chip technology. So it was a general warning that was said to me a month, 6 weeks ago or more. Well, just the update last week was, well, Bob, if you just Google it, you'll notice they're starting to have problems with the iPhone or the iPod. And
right.
I didn't even bother Googling it. I just accept Ion for what he says, you know. I don't care. So
busy.
Trying to make me busy.
Bob's just looking a busy.
No, I'm not looking a busy. I refuse to look a busy.
Yeah.
And so I said, yeah, there's probably stuff out there. Someone will find it and post it on 5-Bodied. But I just said, yep, Ion is saying that the iPods are having a problem. And that's the beginning of this sort of treacherous situation we're moving into where chip technology collapses. It's almost like, as James interpreted when he heard this, EM, you know, electromagnetic pulse, EMP,
right.
I guess it was. And
okay. So that's the bad news. But
no, wait a minute. It's not bad. That's not
bad. There's always bad news is always good news.
That's right. It'll allow people to relax and allow more.
you see how I quickly, I come in with the good news with a rush.
Yes.
Like McLuhan. And it comes in with a rush.
Okay.
Humpty Dumpty, when he falls, that's a good thing.
Yeah, because they couldn't put him back together again, so all the king's horses, all the king's men just relaxed and allowed.
That's right. They wouldn't have a job if they couldn't put him back together, or that they would have been fucking downsized and fucking gone in the unemployment ranks and have to get a job in fucking Dobbstown.
Yeah, so they...
the only employer still hiring.
Yeah. A little esoteric statement here. They did a Knights Templar during the Black Plague, but I'm not going into those details. But another place where this thinning of veil is affecting us is the wavelength of our perception or what we see or light. It is shortening.
Cones and rods. Cones and rods.
Yes.
Let's get into cones and rods. That was fascinating.
Well, the ion and different. Yeah, we're getting near 500 hours now. And I haven't heard all of it because some of it's for Carolyn and what she's working with ion on. And the rods and cones, I think she knew about in relation to disease.
Yeah, but you made it a point on the last cash flow to hoik up the concept of how the cones and rods are now going through a metamorphosis, and this is going to affect things.
Yes.
So I want you to delve into that, because the cones and rods concept is very, very interesting to me, because as far as I'm concerned, the conspiracy of the word has to do with the cones and rods.
You already thought of that?
Yes, I just thought of that.
The cones just now.
And rods have to do with the conspiracy of the word.
Yeah, well, visual space, the eye.
Duh.
Yeah, duh.
Ben! Ben, are you listening? Duh!
Who did you address?
Well, what did the cones and rods have to do with anything, says Ben. I don't understand how this plugs into my Marxist, McLuhan, I said, techno-determinism.
that's right. You know, if Ben cannot accept
Ben
the idea...
just relax and allow... he would be even more satisfying to listen to.
That's right. It'd be awful hard for him to think that poor people are there because they want to be. It's the fastest path to their joy.
Are you kidding me? He would kill you. He would fucking cancel the show. Okay, here's my prediction. You, all you good people listening, that's me, you, and Scott. I predict here, if Bob was to lay down to Ben on the next Ben with Bob, this concept that poor people enjoy suffering, that it would cancel the show altogether.
That's right. He would stop. And that's what's great. I'm over here broadcasting these kind of things, and Ben has no clue I'm doing it.
Ben would say, here, I'll play, and you play Bob. I failed to see how the cones and rods have anything to do with modes of production. How does it have to do with modes of production? It's just silly.
And I'd say...
Just McLuhanistic, techno-deterministic, philosophy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I'd say, you're quoting McLuhan, Ben.
Right, you just made my point again. Geez, Ben, I could just let you talk and make my point. Bob's enjoying his retirement. Bob's effectively retired. You've heard it here first, Bob. Bob Dobbs has retired. Ion is doing his work for him. Ben's doing his work for him. Bob doesn't have to do anything.
And you are doing my work right now.
Oh, yes, I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting. You've seen me at work.
Yes. So yeah, the rods and cones, McLuhan talks about that and the effect of color TV on it in a postscript on tactility in the book Through the Vanishing Point.
Did you see my post where I posted McLuhan talking about the different types of color TV?
No, when did you do that?
You didn't see that? It's on the Ion hoax thread.
That's a new thing today?
No, it's a little bit old.
Oh, okay. I missed that, I think. Anyway.
Well, it's very good, what I posted. I have to say, I'm quite pleased with it.
Okay, let's not get carried away with yourself. Let's go back to rods and cones.
Rods and cones.
Yeah, when I first heard Ion talking about the role of rods and cones, that was interesting. I got glimpses of it through what I heard with Carolyn and some other things. So then when it said, I didn't say it, it said, principle number one, the change, the effect of the rods and cones, I go, oh, yes, I remember that's the key thing. Now, I know nothing more about it. I'd have to go in and have a special session. Carol might have some stuff on it. But, again, I didn't write those things. That's just me. I'm just a dictaphone, right? Just receiving what's being dictated to me. So the point is that the magma, the changing of the frequency of the wavelength, much earthquakes and all that stuff, what else was changing? And the thinning of the veil is the ground for all this. And Ion says it's also the end of the 13,000 year cycle of the what is that thing? It goes, sun goes around everywhere. The Earth goes through all the planets. 26,000 years. Forget the phrase perihelion, but it's not that. It's something else. Anyways, the 26,000 year cycle that the Mayans clued into, or at least half of it, the 13,000 year cycle, that has come to a major terminus right now in this period, and that's why Ion calls it the end of the beginning. And the solar eclipse on July 22nd was amazing. I had to Ion on July McLuhan's birthday, July 21st, and remember the date for the Mayan calendar ending is December 21st, 2012. That's Zappa's birthday. So you have McLuhan and Zappa, July 21st to December 21st, from 2009 to 2012. Those two guys are paired off in my tiny note chart. So that's interesting.
Right.
So I got emails from Ion Tuesday night demanding a session with me. We had to do... Now, wait a minute. Yeah, what was the 22nd? That was that day, Wednesday, wasn't it? 29th? Yeah, it was the 22nd, was a Wednesday. The night before was McLuhan's birthday. We did Melting Titanium. But Ion had sent emails earlier in the day that we had to do more than Melting Titanium. Very important stuff. It was demanding airtime with me. And it was all that's how I learned about the significance of July 22nd, the night before.
What?
So I just... Did you hear that? It was a bark.
Yes. What?
There was a bark.
Yeah, that was McLuhan on the Today Show.
Oh, that's right. I want to tell you an interesting...
Back to the house.
Here, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
Conscious Society from the University of Toronto, of course, the author of a book called The Medium is the Message, and he came to New York last night so that he could watch the debates, watch them not so much from a policy point of view, but from a television point of view. First of all, Professor McLuhan, how did you watch the debates?
On a number of television sets?
Yes, I saw it on black and white and two different kinds of color. The CBS color and NBC color. They seem to be quite different on the set I was watching.
Well, it might have been the set.
Cones and rods.
Yeah.
The glorious moment was the rebellion of the medium against the bloody message. The medium finally rebelled against the most stupid arrangement of any debate in the history of debating.
Why was it stupid? Not from a...
Scripting point of view. Mm-hmm. The characters who had arranged that debate and scripted every aspect of it had
McCain Obama
TV, and they didn't even know that TV is not a debating medium.
Mm-hmm.
And they had arranged it as if it were a newspaper setup or a radio setup. They had no awareness of TV. With the breakdown in the technology, the audience finally got into the act.
If this debate had been arranged by people who, in your view, knew and understood television, how would it have been done?
Well, now, this would take quite a while to explain, but it would be much closer to what we're doing right here, chatting casually, spontaneously, without a script, and paying attention to what is being said. What
wiretap
last night was merely to hold the audience on the image. It didn't matter at all what was said last night. Had either candidate dared to present a policy, it would have destroyed his image.
Was one more cool than the other from a purely...
No, they're both in a state of panic cool. They were terrified of making...
Croker!
Shouldn't they have all these conditions on a television debate when they're running for the highest office and they want to control the environment?
With the breakdown in the mechanism, there was the wonderful revelation of all the characters who had scripted the show. They came out into the open like the something out of the woodwork and revealed that a stupid show had been put together very carefully and by people who had no idea what the TV medium is about.
Would you argue, Professor McGlynn, that the candidates would be better off not to debate than to debate in the manner in which they did?
Of course.
The candidates...
They were standing in press-the-pants barrels...
Resume silence.
And looking absolutely like some straight-jacketed characters... And absolutely the hottest type of medium you could imagine. Everything that the scripters and arrangers had done was hot stuff. They had no idea of what the TV medium is made of.
Well, perhaps they preferred it that way because it was less risk, however, from a political point of view.
It's not the candidates who had anything to do with this, obviously. This was the experts.
The Android meme.
Didn't have a great deal to do with it because all the arrangements were made after having been cleared and
by their proposed. By their experts.
By the candidates themselves as well. They were in on it, too.
I think they couldn't have known that little about what they were doing. But I never saw a more atrocious misuse of the TV medium. When it broke down, it was the thing rebelling against misuse.
You mean you preferred the interviews in the lobby
the
of Roslyn Carter?
The interval was audience participation and was real television. But what went on in the debates was not television at all.
Last night, after all of this happened, the word amplifier was being passed around. What went wrong? It was an amplifier. What went wrong? Well, I hear it was an amplifier. Now, are you suggesting that the amplifier...
Quantum fluctuation amplifier.
The vibrations got through to the amplifier and said, this must not continue. An abominable show.
Resonance said, this must not continue.
The abominable showman.
Yeah, the abominable showman took over and blew the amplifier. The vibes really did get through. The medium was the message.
The experts are doing the bidding of their employers.
Uh-huh.
Their employers are President Ford and Governor Carter.
You might as well tell me that was true of Nixon, who had lots of experts working on his image, and they didn't know what they were doing.
But they were less conscious of television then than they are now, and what it can do to you.
I wonder. They haven't a clue as to what the medium was made of.
Would it be possible that what is going on here is essentially a defensive operation by both men, as Tom was saying, both of them intent on not making any mistakes, and being plunged into this debate because they can't avoid it, they do everything they can to minimize any risk. They do everything they can to hold the position.
When I was listening to those statistics, I was thinking of the drunk who clung to the lamppost, more for support than for illumination. There was no illumination coming over those statistics, but there was a lot of drunken clutching at lampposts.
Are you the drunk clutching at the lamppost, Bob?
No, I'm the lamppost.
Okay, Bob. Do we want to hear more McGlynn, or are we done with that?
No, that's good, because I have a very, very good clip, because that's the fall of 19...
This clip was my response to Body Logic saying that the Internet is just recycling the same old shit. And my post was, and here's some more recycled same old shit.
Right. And what did you post?
I posted this.
Oh, is that... You have a clip on there?
Yeah, I posted this McGlynn.
Oh, I remember. Yes, the video.
Do we want to listen to more of it or not?
No, that's enough because there's a lot to say right now already.
Okay, let's take it from McGlynn's last comment, which was the drunk hanging on to the lamppost. How does that metaphor, hoist up by McGlynn, come into relevance right now in this instance?
Okay,
Bob, take it away.
That broadcast was in the fall of 1976, the year that Network came out. We played earlier the Beale stuff. And that was
right.
The transition year to the Android meme, 1977. And what you have here, McGlynn, right with perfect pitch, right up to date, says the medium became an autonomous technology and rebelled against the message. He's pointing out the technology taking on life of its own. He's pointing out the medium's coming alive, so to speak. That is where he is indicating the beginning of the Android meme, unconsciously maybe, or consciously.
30 years ahead of his time.
That's right. And so then, okay, so he predicts, what was the other thing? He talks about it rebelling. I think that's the main point, is him saying, I remember reading the article at that time, and the headline, the medium, McLuhan says the medium rebelled against the message, and you, the average perception was, what do you mean? The medium has a say in this? The medium is a living entity? He communicated the conscious, they live kind of phenomenon, or even
right.
The matrix, right there. What other points did he make in there? He talked about Panicule, yeah, Croker.
He talked about the two different types of colors. Our last thing was cones and rods.
Right.
So he said, I watched the ABC color and the NBC color. And he said they were and black and white, and they were all different. So there's two types of colors and the black and white. So he's talking about the cones and rods.
That's right. Now, he... he emphasized the macula. Is that on the periphery? The macula?
I'm not sure.
He talked about the peripheral vision and the center of the eyeball in through the vanishing point. I think there might be a passing physiological reference to rods and cones, but that's what I like about ION. ION completes and fills in a little bit extra that people didn't know on all kinds
right.
of on all kinds of scenarios. McLuhan said that... with the automobile in the 20s and 30s, people had their peripheral vision reactivated, whereas the
yes.
literate society was focused in the middle of the eye, not the peripheral. So that's
right.
why tennis became
objects
hot.
Objects in the rear-view mirror may seem different. He's waking up the rear-view mirror cones and rods perception.
No, no, you didn't. Listen to this. So he said that tennis came in, became a popular sport in the 20s because it dramatized the actual sensory dynamics of the new auto person driving around in cars. Since they were getting their peripheral activated, they needed a game to mime that. And so when you watch tennis, your eye is going from one side of the eyeball to the other. You know what I mean?
That's contrast.
That, well, no, that's not contrast.
Well,
that's
it's contrast to the other.
It's movement. You're
right.
not looking at
but
one
that
point.
Type of movement is different than the type of movement that they perceive in the automobile.
No, no, no. The automobile is when you're in the automobile, you're looking to the side, you're looking in the rearview mirror. If they even had one in the 20s, I don't know. And the movement of the eyeball. Now that's after 200, 300 years of people staring at a page. You
right.
know?
The monastic tradition.
Yeah. So that's the interesting point McLuhan points out, the peripheral vision being activated and then sport coming in to respond to that new
yeah,
effect.
Yeah, I said that coming in, that advent, was contrast to the monastic eye.
Okay, no, you're right. On that level, the sensory dynamics that media has evolved from, you know, acoustic space to visual space to kinetic space to tactile space has been unfolding of contrast. So the human... first nature requires contrast, and media imitates that by creating contrasting environments as it unfolds.
Right. right.
Yeah. So the technology mimes the contrast. The contrast
that's
principle.
That's what I was trying to elucidate with words.
With worse, W-O-R-S-E. With worse.
Yeah, with worse.
With worse. Okay, Dave Worcester. Dave Worcester.
Yeah, with Dave Worcester.
And he's a good word guy. He's Dave Worcester, but he emphasizes the
yes.
worst.
Yes.
Okay, so what other points did he make? He talked about their Panicule. You said Croker.
Well, we were talking about cones and rods and magma.
Right.
Now we got all befuddled.
Yes, so you have the thinning of veil affecting the magma, affecting the continental drift, tectonic plates, the frequency, and affecting TV productions. Do you realize, Bob, that on the previous Friday, not last Friday, the previous Friday on Eureka, this TV
yeah.
show, they featured getting caught in the rift in the science fiction scenario. And a few days later on Tuesday on Warehouse 13, they presented the same phenomenon of
right.
getting caught in the interdimensional problem. Now, ION has been talking about that for a month or so with Connie and I. telling us, getting us ready for riff riding, and how you need to know the rules so you can get back. And the rule aspect is what's highlighted in these two shows. So we have major synchrony ever since the Air France disappeared, you know, the plane disappearing right when we were hearing about the riff from Ion in April, May. So we have rapid Android meme synchrony. Whatever we talk to Ion about, the media, the top shows,
instantaneously replicate.
Yeah, and they try to put a bad spin on it. Ion says that television is its role is to be a contrastor. And I supplemented it with the good news, bad news thing by McLuhan. But yes, as a matter of fact, going through reviewing the old tapes, or what was done in March, April, on April 18th, I point out that the cold fusion story is going to be announced the next day on the 19th on 60 Minutes. And Ion says, yes, but note this, Bob, within a week or so, there's going to be stories coming out talking about how bad cold fusion is going to be.
And, yes.
And so it predicted what James noticed right away. Within a week or so, the Pentagon forced 60 Minutes to retract what they said about cold fusion, right?
Right.
And there's probably been more debunking, but I haven't been tracking it.
Well,
so
they backpedaled.
Yeah. So Ion was pointing out there was no problem with this. This is TV's role, is to provide contrast. That's his last role. And so here you have Warehouse 13 and Eureka showing the riff, but showing it in terms of technical apparatus. Total scary scenarios, scaring the heck out of everybody, countering Bob's message, Bob's warm, beneficent, benign, we love you, agape message of positive and activating joy. And this is all great from Ion's point of view. It's a great ecology.
Right. So what is essential is that we maintain contrast.
We don't have to. It's being done.
Right.
It's being
it
done.
It does it all of its own accord.
Yeah, just interacting. My old dialectic of blocking and merging when you're talking to somebody. That's the contrast creativity going on there. You have to block some of the things I'm saying so that you can have your own sense of self.
Right.
Which is kind of like meta. I was thinking of meta as you talk and then you're aware you're talking and you're aware someone's listening to you and all these ascending ladders of awareness, but actually each other to each other is a meta. Like I'll say something, then you'll meta on me, then I'll meta on you. That's the way conversation goes.
Okay, what is the opposite of meta?
Actually, and this is interesting, as you started to say that sentence, the phrase hendiades came in my mind.
Hendiades.
Yeah, one by means of two. And I was going to say hendiades. I said, that probably applies to what I just said. Then you said, what is the opposite of that? Something like that, right?
I basically said, what is hendiades?
You did. You said, what's the opposite? And I said, I already got the answer before he said it.
Well, we're having a little melting titanium right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Do not fucking get seduced by imitations. Make sure you only order the real fucking...
real ESP right in front of you now, live.
The only real ESP alive today is melting titanium. Do not accept imitations.
I like talking about Ion. Having you, who appreciates Ion, bring up things because it's a lot of interesting...
I don't appreciate Ion. I just relax and allow, Bob. I relax and allow.
That's damn worse. Did it again. Yeah. That's damn worse.
I'm not going to paint my experience of Ion with appreciation, motherfucker.
Okay.
I will not shed a single tear when Ion, when the woman in the store...
When it refuses you entrance into the GOP, you will not shed one tear.
When the woman in the store dies, I will not shed a single tear, buddy. Don't you fucking forget that.
Yeah. What is Ion like? Oh, it's like a woman in a store.
Like a woman in a store. I will not shed a single tear when Ion, Ian, wherever he is, dies.
Yeah, when on the day that Ion screws up and actually creates something, I will not shed one tear.
Not one tear.
Okay, I was going to tell you.
So I said, which made you think of endiocese, or it was all the same thought. So we were having the same thought.
Yes, though one by means of two, we could not have had the same thought. That's the miracle of the significance of it. So, yep,
okay,
we did.
Are you suggesting a vertical, hierarchical order to thought? Are you positing that?
Well,
are you saying that there's a linear trope at play?
Yep.
Explosive laughter here. Yup. How do you know that you've been duped by Bob? Well, yup.
You know, this guy, Kling Kling, noticed that with Harold Channer. Like, we're talking away, and Harold Channer goes, "You mean, Bob, that da-da-da-da-da-da, that there is ESP?" And Kling Kling latches up. I go, yep.
I think it's time that Kling Kling was anointed into the Brotherhood and brought into the wiretap sessions. I got a feeling, if everything you've been telling me about Kling Kling is true, then he's definitely a candidate for a wiretap.
Yes, but he's working on other media versions of me. He may not want to go public.
That's an alibi.
Yeah, it's an alibi.
I think I've got my finger on Kling Klang's tail. His alibi is that he wants to kind of lurk, but not lurk, but contribute, but not contribute. And it's time that we step up, that we turn up the volume on Kling Klang.
Are you suggesting that the Committee to Clean Up Dobbstown has its first subpoena?
Yes, I suggest that, and I also suggest that I want to initiate the next round of noise, and I want the next round of noise to include Kling Klang. Because his very moniker suggests noise. Kling Klang!
That's right.
He's, you know what he is? Kling Klang is the clarion bell.
Well, you know, he is around your age, and he grew up in Toronto, so there's an interesting resonance there.
And you have suggested to me that he's as critical and as unsparing as I can be.
No, actually,
I admire that, because to me, that is the mark of a true free thinker, someone who's not interested in just making content for the sake of content, which is impossible. All content is for the sake of content.
Yeah. I wanted to say, no, he's a lot younger than you. I just got confused there. No, he's younger. But the point is, he was in Toronto. He actually, you were on CKLN. He was on Ryerson Radio, CKLN, as an assistant to someone else named Mike Ryan.
Right.
So he had the CKLN experience, too. But
I was on Nibla Fanibla with, with Bodan Kuzma. Bodan Kuzma had a show called Nibla Fanibla, and I was on Nibla Fanibla.
Well, that was before. That was
a lot of Henry Cow and a lot of esoteric music.
Yeah, that was before you met me.
That was before. That was pre-Bob Dobbs.
Yeah, that was 83, early 83
right.
You were on
Yeah,
there.
And then, you know, I met you in circumstances to the station and whatnot.
Yeah. So the back to... why were we talking about Kling Klang? Because I want to go... Oh, I want to tell you this story. I got one. I got it. So,
hang on.
All right, I pulled the plug. What'd you just do there? Did you laugh or something?
Nah, I just extorted.
Okay, here's what happened.
Exhorted.
As I'm reviewing the sessions with Ion and, you know, inventorying the topics, around April 16th, 17th, in that period just before the cold fusion, Ion was saying that I was living many of the unrealized creations of McLuhan. Okay?
Yeah, well, I've heard that before.
Right. Now, the point is that it was saying that, and then right at that moment, Neufeld called and interrupted the session.
No, he interrupted nothing. Neufeld called and became part of the flow.
That's right. And so I immediately recognized that. What's that sound?
That's me opening up a can of a bottle of water.
Okay, so the I immediately recognized the synchronicity of Neufeld calling in right when
I was pointing out some of the creations that were made after Marshall passed on in 1980. And Neufeld made them. He made Bosmic Ecology and the McLuhan album for Nelson Tall. So the timing of that. So I was thinking, I didn't get a chance to check Ion on this, but I wouldn't be surprised Ion knew Neufeld was going to call. Made this statement. The statement was just sort of said out of the blue and said it. And
well, Neufeld calling was something that Ion got from Neufeld.
Yes, he saw it happening.
Yeah, it was Neufeld's creation.
Yeah, and when we say he, we don't mean Ion's he, but just...
No, we mean it. It was, its understanding was Neufeld's creation.
Yeah, so it appears like ESP anticipatory stuff going on, but from Ion's point of view, all time, there's no time from Ion's point of view, and it's all happening simultaneously, so... Ion can't miss being ESP from our perception.